Hey, it's Cody.
And Matt, and thanks for joining us for another episode of
The ComaCast. Matt, we're going to be diving into all things involving the LGBT community, including our own lives.
And don't forget our cats.
We don't want to forget them. The ComaCast starts now.
Podcasting from the Lone Star State in Southern California, you're listening to The Coma Podcast with Cody and Matt.
Everybody, and welcome to the ComaCast. We thank you for joining us here for another episode. And guess what, everybody? Dr. Jake is back for another episode. We are so glad that you're joining us again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me chime in and chat with you guys again and talk.
Yes. So we recently did a episode about like myths involving like sex misconceptions. But we did get into the conversation talking, and we have in the past talking about like AIDS, HIV, and then obviously, as we've talked about the advancements in medicine and technology, that we have like pills like Truvada and PEP and PrEP. And then now I think there's a new injection that's available that's, you know, so you don't have to take a pill every day. Kind of talk about some of those things.
Yeah, so HIV prevention has come a long way since Truvada first came around. So there's if you're not aware, I can tell you in Denver the HIV rate in gay men is 1 in 12. So 1 in 12. So and I think part of this is a little bit generational and age related. So if you talk to a lot of people who are younger, they never went to a funeral for somebody who had HIV or who ended up with AIDS. And so they are less likely to use condoms and may not be as aware of their options for PrEP. And they also may not be as aware of the rate of HIV in their community. So now I can tell you just what the numbers are in Denver off the top of my head because I live here and I work here. So, but in other communities, you can check your health department website and it's probably similar. Somewhere between 1 in 10 to 1 in 15 gay men will have HIV. So you are kind of rolling the dice, as they say, when you're having sex with somebody when it's unprotected. I know that people are people and they make decisions not based on having a provider standing right behind them and telling them, well, that's a good choice, or hey, that's probably a bad choice, because that's not reality. That's not how this world works. So, and I've made plenty of bad choices. I know everybody else does. But PrEP is one of the things that can absolutely protect you and is has significant efficacy. So there's two pills. There's Truvada and then the generic Truvada. And then there's Descovy. Descovy isn't off brand yet, so it doesn't have a generic that's available. However, the Biden administration was kind enough to slap the wrist of insurance companies and tell them, hey, look, you don't need to give people the runaround and no bullshit. You just need to approve this and no more prior auth BS. So the process is supposed to be smoother for patients and providers to get people on PrEP. That is not always the case, but insurance companies are supposed to approve this at a brisker pace. The meds are expensive, and that's why they're holding it up. So so the basic details on getting on PrEP is this: basically, you get a chemistry panel, you get a little blood work, get an HIV test. If you're getting an HIV test, you should also get a syphilis and a gonorrhea and chlamydia test, because STDs always carpool. So where one goes, others come with. So it's always a good idea to just get everything together all at once.
I'm not laughing.
So I got super dry sense of humor. Sorry.
Not a good carpool.
Yeah.
It's not the carpool you want.
Not the carpool you want. It's not the carpool lane you want. It's not the roadhead you like. But it is a reality. Worst. Yeah. So yeah, you don't want those. So yeah, if you're gonna get tested, you might as well get tested for everything.
Right.
And then the other thing that's, you know, that I talk to people about is I say, hey, we can do your swabs. And when I say that, I mean oral and rectal swabs for oral and rectal gonorrhea and chlamydia, because you can get gonorrhea and chlamydia, the back of your throat, because if you're choking on a dick, you can have that placed right at the back of your throat. And then if you're bottoming, same thing. So especially when you go back and forth between the two, or if you're in the middle of, you know, your regular Tuesday night five-way, this may be something that happens. So
never been to Paris, but you're going to the Eiffel Tower, you know?
Yeah. So you get tested for everything and then you start on prep and then no sex for 2 weeks, you know, no sex of any kind for 2 weeks. It's super important. Anytime you stop prep for any reason, or you're starting it, is that period when you're starting it, you shouldn't be having sex, because if you got exposed during that time period while you were taking Truvada or Descovy, is that you could potentially be resistant to those drugs if you did become infected with HIV. So it's super important. Sometimes people, you know, they leave on vacation, they forget their pills. They run out for whatever reason. And so they're off of it for a couple of days. You know, if you're off of it, if you forget more than 2 days in a row, you really need to be careful. So, and I tell people that, and most people I think are pretty good about it, but, everybody, you know, forgets now and again. So, reminder.
I saw this guy, because he didn't want to forget. He always took a photo. Every time he took the pill, he would like stick his tongue out with the pill on his tongue. And then he would have, you know, he could go back on his phone and see, oh, I already did take it today. And it was a good like routine that he had established. So if you are someone who is forgetful, you can do that.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who set alarms. They put in calendar events to take their prep. So then they look at it in the morning, like, oh, okay, I got to take my prep this morning. So yeah. And now there's iPrep, which is, it just cleared the last FDA hurdle. And so that's an injection once every 8 weeks. I'm honestly not that familiar with it. But
I was about to ask you about it, actually. I looked it up real quick to make sure I got the name right.
So I'm not too familiar with it. I imagine it's going to be expensive. New drugs are. But I think the government has a significant amount of money in HIV prevention, billions of dollars. And so I think some of that money, in my mind, is going to go towards getting people on the injectable, because the issue that the government has in the HIV programs, or one of the issues, is that they look at people taking HIV prevention meds. They look at PrEP from the perspective of refills. So if you're getting your meds for free and you're refilling them every month, the government, the programs think, okay, Cody's compliant with his meds because he's picking them up every month. We assume that you're taking them. So we don't really know, but we just know that you're picking them up.
Yeah.
With the injectables, you can actually, it's somebody else giving you the injection. Okay, we give you the shot in the shoulder. You're good for 8 weeks. Come back in 8 weeks. If you're not here in 8 weeks, we know you're not compliant with it. So I think, you know, I think some of the, you know, underserved LGBT community, the Black and Hispanic community, is probably going to be, I would assume, would be targeted in a good way by some of these programs to get them on PrEP, because the rates of PrEP in people of color are significantly lower than those who are not. So I'm sure that's something that'll be kind of rolling out here in 2022, as soon as we're just finished with COVID, which should be any day now.
Totally. Totally.
If someone is interested in PrEP, is that something that can be done telehealth wise, or do you have to be somewhere where you have to go and actually see a doctor in the office?
Yeah, so you can do PrEP all remotely. So there's services that I offer PrEP services online. You can come to me and I can do it, especially if you live in the Denver metro area, super easy. If you don't live in the Denver metro area, what I do is I send people to the local LabCorp to get their stuff drawn, and then I do their prescription and stuff. There are other services that send you out a kit and then you just use the kit and then, you know, return it back. I think the problem with the kits in my mind is that if you're looking for gonorrhea and chlamydia, by the time you call somebody up and say, hey, ship me a kit, and the kit goes out, and then 2 or 3 days later it arrives, and then another day for it to get mailed back, you're looking at 3 to 4 days before you get your test results. So I think it's better if you think you have an STI, STD, that you just, you know, pick up the phone right away, especially if somebody tells you that they were exposed. So, which is kind of a very straightforward thing. The CDC calls it expedited partner treatment. So if you tell me, oh, hey, I tested positive for gonorrhea and you and I just had sex last week, I don't need to go and get a test. I can just get treated right away. Automatic treatment. You don't need to test because all it does is delay treatment. The assumption is that you did pass that along to the other person. So, which is why it's so important that partners communicate with each other, even if they're three word partners off of Grindr, that maybe you hit that person back up and besides saying hole pick, you say, hey, I tested positive for gonorrhea. So, I mean,
as Matt always says, communication.
Yes.
Telling you,
it works.
It's
in everything.
It's a hill I will die on, no matter what, whether the relationship is romantic or the faceless picture that you dumped a load into at the glory hole, whichever, communicate, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to marry the guy necessarily, you know, you're just communicate if something has happened because you could be protecting a lot of people.
Yes, you could. Absolutely. And I think you have as a human, you have an ethical obligation to say, well, hey, that, I say that slut, but not to slut chain, but as a collegial term, is back on that, you know, on that app or whatever. And I should tell that person, hey, you need to be, you need to get treated and stay off the app for 2 weeks. So,
right. And definitely, and just to point out to everybody, none of us are slut shaming here. We all support. Like, yeah. I mean, if my Twitter had a brand name, it would be literally I Heart Sluts, because I don't know. I've gotten the slut shaming thing before, and it's never. I'm just like, okay, and you know, you do it too. You're just not telling your partner. You know, like, always yeah, the ones in my DMs that get really loud, and I'm like, interesting. You know,
no but, secrets.
Nope.
No secrets. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm sure you wish I had some, Cody. I'm sure you're just like, oh, Matt, I wish you didn't tell me that.
You know, or we were talking about on Twitter, your phone. And if you were to pass away, I want ownership of your phone data.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you heard about that. They had talked about, Apple was talking about, if you pass away or expire, you can assign somebody to basically take over your account. And I was like, no, thanks. Turn that thing into an iBrick. Toss it into the ocean, whatever. And Cody's like, no, I'll take it. And I'm like, yeah, I can hear it now. Featured on my podcast posthumously, you know, hey guys, with the intro music and everything. Hey guys, going through Matt's phone today. Let's see what he laughed at and why I know he's burning in hell. Coming up next, you know, and like,
I could at least continue for a year. With the content from your phone.
You could go for quite a while.
and talking about STIs, so the question would be, some might have, like, if they were in a situation where they found out that someone that they had sex with was HIV positive, what should they do?
So if they had unprotected sex with that person and the person told them after the fact that they're HIV positive, or they, or however that disclosure came about. Mm-hmm. So you can get on PEP, which is post-exposure prophylaxis, and that requires an intense therapy of at least a month of medication. So I've talked to some guys who are gay who say, like, oh, no, I don't want to be on PrEP because I want to take a pill every day. I'll just take it when I need it. It doesn't work that way. So the pills don't work that way. So you got to take it every day. So so PrEP is like 99 point something percent efficacious. So where we lose efficacy is when people don't hit all 7 doses in a week. So when you're drop below 5 doses in a 7-day period, then you end up having sex, your risk for contracting HIV increases significantly. So if you had sex with somebody, I mean, first of all, we should be communicating, like Matt said, you know, hey, what's your HIV status? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that should be something that most people are open with. And are you on PrEP? And are you vaccinated and boosted? Those should not be hidden questions. Those should be, mm-hmm. hey, you know, I like to get tied up, and yes, I'm vaccinated and boosted, and I'm on PrEP. You know, that can all be in one swift, succinct sentence.
I so agree with that. Like, obviously, I mean, you all see my Twitter. I'm very like, whether it's something political, education related, or about dick, I'm very like, we should talk about it. It shouldn't be shamed. It shouldn't be hidden. And when you have providers like Jake, who are, I think it's what really helps, will drive it home. And I think in coming generations will help so much, because we have people like you who are now here in the community and saying, yeah, I'm gay and I'm here to help y'all. Because a lot of times people are, they definitely make their LGBTQ, but that is like number 10 on the priority list. They are happy to put that aside to not have to deal with, because it's not easy to deal with underserved communities. You know, it's, they're ignored and targeted in all the wrong ways. And that doesn't help. That doesn't help that community at all. And so we have, you know, the Dr. Jakes of the world stepping up to say, yes, I'm gay. Yes, that's part of my life. And I'm here to help you to communicate. You know, it's a hard conversation to have, because most of us are not taught to have those open conversations and say awkward things, because, you know, like I said, and I think it was the previous one, how, you know, people being married and literally having children, and they have no idea how their spouse's body works when something goes wrong. Like people having heart attacks and, you know, their diabetes is out of control and they don't recognize the signs and symptoms, but they've been diabetic for 30 years. You know, and that's something I strive to push against in my own life and the lives of those around me. Obviously, Cody, you experience this with me like daily. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole thing, like with sex, especially, is that, especially in America, it's just like so hush hush, and people don't like talking about it, or they get very embarrassed about it, and it's something that you really shouldn't be embarrassed about it, because everybody does it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's a hard conversation to have until someone opens up the door, and then once someone opens up the door, it's super easy, because. I mean, I've seen couples this week for things unrelated to sex, but I usually bring up, you know, I do hormone balancing and I also do sexual health. And they say, oh, what do you do for sexual health? I say, well, I do scream cream and dick pills and oxytocin lollipops and all these great things that you can get. And I get the, you know, what's scream cream question. I'm like, well, it's cream that you put on so you can scream. And it's, you know, it's for the lady parts, right? So however you want to refer to them.
I just love Jake.
And I also use common terms. I think that's also, I think when people are like, well, your penis, blah, blah, blah. I think when people are totally put off by that, you know, and when someone says, hey, you know, is your dick getting hard when you're, you know, with somebody that you're romantically involved with or whatever? Because if it's not, let's talk about it and fix it, because it could be a blood flow problem. It could be, you know, it can be potentially like a diabetes problem. It could be a bunch of different, it could be a vascular issue. It could also be psychosomatic. It could be a lack of dopamine. There's all sorts of things that can go wrong. But when you tell somebody, like, can you sustain a full erection? People don't like open up and start telling you stuff when you say that. But if you ask somebody, like, can your dick get hard when you're naked in front of your partner? That's a little bit easier for people to process, because that's how they think. So,
right. Well, I think kind of dispelling the whole thing of it's not 1900 anymore. And this is very, we are all, people used to not be aware of how serious STIs could really be, and that they don't just affect you know, the shady people walking through the red light district. Like, you know, that's how it was always portrayed in TV, on TV when I was growing up, even. And, you know, I'm.
And there's an outbreak right now because of COVID.
Or outbreak of which?
Of STDs in general, STDs, oh, STIs. Wow. I'll just say STD is sexually transmitted disease and STI is sexually transmitted infection. They both mean the same thing. People use them interchangeably. But like Los Angeles, I think, has sent out home syphilis test kits to people because there's been a huge outbreak of syphilis. And a lot of times people are asymptomatic with STDs, may not have symptoms, and then they pass it along to their partner or partners, next person. So there's not much to do when you're in quarantine. So some people end up fucking, and then there you go.
Yeah. And there's the carpool. The carpool.
Yeah, there's the carpool.
I was going to say, if there are those times that you are asymptomatic and you might not know you have an STI, and then you have sex with somebody else and you just continue the journey of passing it along. Like, what it should be, how often should you get STI checks? And test
if you're active.
If you're active, yes.
At a minimum, every 3 months. At a minimum, because that's when you should be doing your prep checkup. Every 3 months, you check your kidney function, your liver function, and then check for HIV, and then your gonorrhea, chlamydia, and then a syphilis test. Every 3 months should be the minimum. But I know people who go for a check every 2 weeks. Because they're very sexually active and they want to make sure that they're peeing in a cup every 2 weeks. So I think it depends on the person. So some people, you know, just wait until their 3 months is up, and some people go every other month. I think it depends on, you know, how many stars of a slut you are in a good way. So whether you're like one or at five, maybe you, you know, maybe you need it more frequently, maybe less. I mean, I also know people that are not very sexually active, and they go on a bender, so to speak, and or maybe when they're out of town,
bend over,
they go on a bend over. That was good.
With love, good, Matt. I mean, thank you. I'm also a former Orlando resident, you know.
Yes. Oh. Yes, Orlando.
Orlando, I mean, no, there's a reason for it.
It's Orlando. True.
Yeah, so I think it's, you know, it's kind of relative. I think to keep people safe every 3 months is a good start. So I think when people start, and, you know, men really should be doing self-exams in the shower. You should be, you know, should be at least looking at your dick, looking at your balls, making sure that there's nothing extra there, that there's not swelling, painful, tenderness, that you're, you know, checking out every day. Because if you do start to have swelling, stuff like that, that's one sign of potentially, you know, STD, STI, or could be just from rough sex too. But I think that regular quick look and exam in the shower by people can be overlooked. And that could be the first sign that you have something going on.
Right.
Yeah. I had a friend who obviously had done that, and he ended up feeling something that didn't feel right, and he ended up having testicular cancer. And so that's something that you're able to kind of get a
super
leg up on.
Yeah. Right. Leg up. Yep. For sure. Super treatable. Yeah. Yep.
One thing that we also talked about recently, Matt, is we talked about there's kind of a stigma, but behind people who do have HIV and obviously who are on medicines and they're undetectable, but there's a stigma against those people. Can you kind of talk a little bit about HIV and being undetectable?
Yeah. So your risk of getting HIV from somebody who is, who's not on PrEP, and doesn't know their HIV status is way higher than having sex with somebody who is on PrEP or who is undetectable. Those two people should really be thought of as the same person. So if you have HIV and you're undetectable, meaning that your viral load is not detectable, so presence of the virus is undetectable by laboratory, by the lab, should really be thought of as the same person who takes their PrEP every day, 7 days a week. So, because you're much safer having unprotected sex with that person than you are with somebody who knows when the last time they got tested was, who knows how many partners they've had, and they don't have any sort of protection. They're not on PrEP and they're not on daily meds. So, some people I know post, you know, U equals U, and that means undetectable equals undetectable. And so that if you're perusing one of the apps and scrolling, you know, for your gentleman caller in the evening hours, that person has much less risk for you getting HIV. It's like, it's essentially zero. So I'd rather have sex with someone who's undetectable any day of the week than with someone who doesn't get tested regularly or is not on PrEP. So, and just personally, I really don't have sex with people who aren't on PrEP or who are not undetectable. Like those are the two groups of people that I have sex with, because I know that they're on meds every day. Now, could they be lying to you and just telling you that they are undetectable or that they are taking PrEP? That's also the same person. Are those people out there? Sure. But, you know, that's why you have to take the meds yourself so you can protect mm-hmm. yourself. So,
right.
But yeah. So there's a huge stigma, and I can just speak to it more personally than professionally, so that it shouldn't be a big deal. I think it's just a hurdle with letting other people know, like, an HIV positive person who's undetectable is fine. Go for it.
The information is there. The education is not. Even so, I just sat through my first semester of clinicals, and these are all veteran nurses who lived. They were nurses in the 80s, and they told some of their war stories of losing dear patients and friends and family. And they, you know, had many friends, you know, and colleagues, you know, that were gay male nurses in the 80s and 90s, and they lost them. And even with all that information, I mentioned PrEP in one of the lectures, and they were like, I guess that's something you might talk to your doctor about, but no clue whatsoever. I mean,
I think the general pop, I think outside of the LGBT community, they don't really know about PrEP.
Right. So it's one of those things, like, having that conversation is so important, because you have people who are coming into the community, or worse, or not worse, but more so trying to understand. Maybe they have a son or a daughter, or, you know, a child that's coming out, or they suspect, and they're trying to understand what's going on, because they might have those dated stereotypes of the 80s and 90s of, you know, a guy I dated in college, his mom was literally like, "You're going to die. I can't believe you're making this choice for yourself with me present." And I was like, that is, what do you think we do? You know, like, in her mind, because when she was in her 20s and 30s during that time frame, that's what her gay friends did. Like, they took such huge risks. They didn't even know how at risk they were for a while. And, you know, so that's what she saw. She didn't, you know, in our own families, I doubt any of our families have ever picked up a book, you know, and tried to understand our community. So I think posting that information and making it more accessible and making it digestible, not just in medical jargon, but like, this is what it means, you know, and something that you can pick up and read and actually understand. I think that would do so much good in helping everybody else understand us. And it's not that we're a hypersexualized community. It's that we are sexually active just like everybody else. And PrEP isn't just for the gays, you know.
It's not. It's not. It's, you know, it is for people who are sexually active. That the you know, some of the guidelines gear more towards men who have sex with men, for sure. But I think there's a lot of people in the, you know, swinger community, in the straight community, and you see a lot of people who are, you know, male female couple looking for a third, or
right,
female female couple looking for, you know, a male third or whatever. So I think it's definitely out there, and to just kind of point out one other thing that I didn't mention was, if you like to eat ass, you should definitely get a Hep A vaccine. So hepatitis A, the way it's transmitted is fecal oral. And so, if, you know, while we're on the topic of vaccines and that kind of stuff, if you're gay and you, you know, dine downstairs, you definitely want to have a Hep A vaccine, two shots. So you should have the other ones too, because vaccines are amazing things.
But, right. Because yes. What did I have to do for nursing school last spring, Cody? Because all my shots were expired because I got them all went between 10 and 15. So at 33 or 34, when I got my titers done, which is when they check you for to see if you still have immunity, nothing popped. I mean, nothing. So other than chicken pox, which I didn't even get a vaccine for, I actually got chicken pox. And that sucked. I think I was still immune to measles. So I ended up getting the Hep A, the Hep B, the MMRs, the full series. And you know what? It wasn't that bad. I just went.
I mean,
to the
you parks. Didn't die.
I didn't die. My Wi-Fi has really improved, though, and the unrelated. If I was downstairs, I'd like slam myself into the refrigerator and be like, it's so magnetic, y'all. But no, the most people, what I didn't even know when I went to go get those vaccines was that I went to my doctor, and at my checkup, I said, hey, this is what we got. He did my titers. He brought them back. He goes, well, I can do your Tdap and flu shot. You're going to have to go to a pharmacy for everything else. I'm like, I can do that at a pharmacy? I have no idea. I had no clue. You can literally just go to your pharmacy and tell them you need your vaccines, and they will do it for you.
And, yeah, you know, the vaccines are crazy expensive, but insurance companies usually cover it. So
yeah, my insurance, even at the time, I had terrible insurance, covered it. And when I didn't have insurance, I got a pretty good break on a couple of them. So, you know, worth it. Like, oh my god, worth it. I mean, but you know, Dr. Jake, of course, this is something you have seen from, you know, your whole life, because I believe, if I remember right, one of your parents is a doctor too, right?
My dad's a retired internal medicine physician. Yeah,
right. So yep. This has been your life, like,
yeah, I've been
seeing this.
Yep. Yeah, I got, you know, indoctrinated into the whole thing kind of from a young age. So, yeah, excellent. I've always liked, thank you, chosen them wisely. I like helping people. So, you know, at the end of the day, I get to help people in an environment that is more conducive to having good mental health versus the hospital, which is not the... not a great place to be lately. So could be a struggle for people there. So I feel bad. And and Matt knows, because I bitched to him probably 450 times in the last couple of years.
You know, I don't think you have. I think so. I bring it on myself. I don't think you bitch, by the way. But much just like all of you guys, when I ask you guys what's going on, I did not ask you how your day was because I wanted to hear, like, you know, air. I'm asking because I want to know, and I will ask Dr. Jake the same question. And I know that I'm asking big boy questions to somebody with a big boy job, and I'm going to get a big boy answer, but I want to hear it. I want to know, because this is things I share with everybody. These are real things. These are impacting. Jake is my friend. He's a family friend of mine, and he means the world to me. And so, yeah, I have definitely sweat a little bit as COVID was ramping up. You know, a lot of doctors and nurses and medical staff and support staff have died or permanently ill or had their careers ended or just quit to save their own
themselves. Not the gays on prep.
Not the gays on prep. You're right. Because why? Retrovirals and antivirals.
Yeah. the meds that we give, that remdesivir is the meds that we give people in the hospital for COVID, is similar to PrEP. And so what you didn't see is a bunch of homos in the hospital, because if you're on PrEP, you have retrovirals, you are swimming in them. And so you are less likely to get sick from COVID. You may not less likely to catch COVID, but less likely to be sick from it. So it's actually some really good data out of Spain about that you weren't seeing a huge influx of COVID in the PrEP community. And that's because they're on those meds every day. So yet another reason to take PrEP.
Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, that is a huge, huge deal. And, you know, again, this is information that I know I talk about frivolous things a lot, but I'm just as capable of talking about very serious things. And these are the conversations Jake and I have on the phone. We might talk about our cats for a minute, but we also talk about his job, what it means, what's happening in his life, you know, what these changes are and what it means. When COVID was happening, I said, you know, what does this mean? Can you try? Because obviously what we saw in the news was kind of a big wash, like a tsunami of information. I was like, all right. And I have some medical knowledge. Like, I'm not useless here. And I was like, Jake, I do not know what some of this means. He's like, wear a mask, wear gloves if you're going to go out and touch stuff, you know, wash your clothes when you get home, change your mask often, and avoid people and follow the rules. Okay. It wasn't hard, you know?
No.
And my antisocial ass was like, you're right, I'll order Uber Eats.
Order food and dick. That's the best way to go. Comes to well, you.
Well, on that note, we will wrap it up. Again, if anybody wants to get in contact with you, what should they do?
Yes. Yeah. You can always go to the website. It is mobilecare, /Denver.com, mobilecare-denver.com. I do free consults on there. You can just sign up for free consult, talk to you over telehealth, just like this, over a HIPAA compliant Zoom or a phone call. And I'm happy to help out, especially with PrEP. And if you have STDs, or if you're a traveling person, you have a traveling job and you don't want to go to an urgent care in Oklahoma to try and figure out your PrEP refill and explain it to somebody who's just got off a horse to walk into the clinic, not to stereotype, but they may not be as open-minded. So I am always happy to help with that. And then I have all sorts of great sexual health stuff, dick pills galore, troches pills, all sorts of cool things, lollipops, all sorts of fun stuff to, you know, sex is supposed to be fun. So I am happy to help people have more fun with it.
I have never gotten a lollipop after sex.
You want the lollipop before, it's oxytocin and it makes you super cuddly. So maybe David could have like two of them, and then that would maybe would level out at two. maybe not. I don't know.
Dr. Nick has known David for many, many years.
So he'd be super cuddly after two lollipops.
He's also super cuddly after two or three whiskey sours. And I'm pretty cuddly after a Long Island or three, usually about three, that I'm like, hey, guys. You know.
Well, again, thank you for joining us. And everybody, he'll be back again. Again, if you have any questions you want us to ask him, send him in. And next time he's on, we'll go through some questions that y'all had. But again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
So, hey guys, we want to remind everyone that you can keep in touch with us on all of our social media channels, whether that is Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can do all of that at the ComaCast.
And we definitely love to interact and hear from all of our listeners. All of this is not possible without you guys.
And if you don't mind rating our podcast on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast provider is, just leave a comment. It's greatly appreciated.
And thank you for joining us.
See you next time.